It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Friday, Big Bad Ben's big birthday bash. And he is he's getting high off his own supply right now as we speak. He's getting those powdered donuts in him. And we are having a blast. Hope you enjoyed your gift, Ben. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, the birthday boy on Sunday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Want to get you a bunch of things that you like. Now, I don't know.
I'm covered in powdered sugar. Yeah. So you know I appreciated the donuts. Mini donuts.
It was a fun thing to get for you. But I wonder how much of it you'll keep. And if not, if you want to give me a bag of the stuff you don't, I would say donate it somewhere.
My radio.
Your radio transistor
radio.
The
giant antenna.
Giant.
Get some batteries.
I haven't even seen an antenna on anything in a long time.
Why do I see him? Let me see it for a second. Yeah. Why do I see him, though, Paulie, sitting in the stands in like 20 years, right? You'll be 69. Excuse me. You'll be 69 years old. Sorry, that was a squirt. You'll be sitting in the stands. You see these guys in the ballpark, rarely, but they have the antenna. And they got the thing up to their ear, and they're listening to, hopefully, Jesse and Tony in 20 years, too, talking about the game, listening to their transistor radio. I can see you as being one of those guys.
I do. I've done it before, where I've listened in the game. It's been a while since I've actually sat in the ballpark and listened to the radio. Yeah. But it's actually pretty cool, because you miss a lot when you're at the game.
Well,
information that only Jesse and Tony have access to.
And I'm sure that the Padres have done this. I'm sure they've given out transistor radios before. I think every team has
One of my favorite things about being at the ballpark is when you go into the bathrooms.
Yes, and you
can
hear
listen to Jesse and Tony. And I was at Dodger Stadium and I had to go to the bathroom and they weren't playing the game. And I go, well, this is a missed opportunity. Why wouldn't you have a game on when people are using the facilities? So I love that they do that at Petco Park.
Yeah, I do too. All right, we've got our guest on the line, I believe.
Yep. Oh, that's right. It's Friday.
Friday.
I totally forgot. It is Friday. That means it's a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. One of my favorite things is Grand Ole Barbecue. They bring you this segment every single week. And as we wrap up, wrapping up the 2024 Major League Baseball season, we are joined by Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports. Sorry, Jordan, I got caught up in my birthday celebration here. Good morning to you.
Good to see you, gentlemen. Sorry I don't have my nicer setup. It's been a long couple days here after end of the World Series. I just got home, and I'm excited to be talking to you gentlemen on this fine Friday morning.
You know, Eno Saris sounded the exact same way yesterday, as did... Who did we have on the day before?
Adam Jones. He sounded even worse.
Hello. Hey,
he had traveled from L.A. to New York to Barcelona.
To Barcelona.
Like 3 days for games, and we woke him up at like 5 in the afternoon over there.
And what? And I'm always stoked to see you and Jake at the ballpark. in the, you know, covering the World Series, man. And obviously we kind of thought it would be us here. That ship has sailed. I get it. Dodgers end up winning. Kind of give us your overall impressions of what you got to see when you were there at both places.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember 2 weeks ago, I believe we had spoken like just after the Padres had been eliminated.
Yeah.
Which now feels like, you know, 20 weeks ago. A lot has certainly happened since then. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, going into the series, I know, but we'll move the Padres perspective aside for a second. But obviously for most, you know, neutral perspective, people watching this, you know, hoping once you got to this point that you would have, you know, hopefully some sort of epic series, you know, of heavyweights and some of the best players in the sport. And I think to some degree we got that.
Yeah,
we did have the moments from both sides to a degree. But I think by the end, the Dodgers were just so much more complete. And while the high-end talent was maybe comparable, the Yankees, as we saw with the, you know, the degree to which they had some issues getting by Kansas City and Cleveland, that just wasn't going to fly against LA. And I think that's really the main takeaway. And even though, you know, maybe I know people wanted to maybe go back to LA and be 6 or 7, but I feel like the results and the way that these teams played, this was the correct result.
You know, and Jordan, I you said earlier, we all kind of hoped we would get that long heavyweight series, and we could have had the Yankees. Now, I didn't watch a ton of Yankees baseball this year, but I some of the people in my feed that had said, why is anyone surprised? They've been playing like this all year, sloppy as can be. And I saw an article yesterday. I can't remember who wrote it, damn it.
I do. It was Joel Sherman.
Was it Joel
Sherman?
He
brought the heat.
Oh,
yeah, New York Post. Oh my goodness.
Oh, my God. And he was talking about how the Dodgers had scouted the Yankees, their advanced scouts. They get a lot of credit and praise for good reason. They said the Yankees are the worst positioned team in Major League Baseball. They take the worst leads off of bases. They said if you have the opportunity to press them in the field, take the extra base. They will mess it up. Like, you keep pressing, they're going to screw it up. They said, and this is the heartbreaker, they said the Dodgers considered worlds above the New York Yankees at doing all of those little things right. The Yankees were so sloppy. Let me ask you this. How in the world does that happen in New York City with that team, their resources? How does that happen?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that, you know, it's funny too when you think about the contrast of them, not just with the Dodgers and the Padres, but you think about the way that people talk about teams that don't have the resources.
Yes.
And when you talk about a Cleveland or you talk about a Kansas City or you talk about, you know, some of the small, it's that they do the little things well because they have to. They absolutely have to. They don't have a choice. You have to run the bases well. You have to play great defense because you don't have, you know, two or three or four of the best hitters of a generation that can just hit the ball over the fence and keep you in the game. Now, again, the Dodgers also have a lot of those things, and then they do a lot of the other little things well, right? And you can say the same thing about the Padres, right? Obviously, there are teams with high payrolls that play the game a little bit cleaner. And so that is why it is particularly interesting. But I do think that that contrast there is, it's not necessarily straight arrogance or hubris, but I do think that when you have a combination of anecdotal and statistical evidence that you are a bad base running team, that you do have consistent defensive lapses. I think defensively, if you look at the metrics, it's not as stark. And I think part of that is why when they've been quick to kind of defend and be like, oh, no, actually, you know, our outs above average are just where they are, or so-and-so are just where they are. But I think that when you have the team, to your point, in New York, that everybody is watching closer than anybody else in the regular season, you're not going to get away with this time of year, not only because your opponent is better, but because everybody has been paying attention and knows that they've seen them make similar mistakes over the course of the season.
Just to build on kind of what Woods was saying, I am very conflicted as a Padres fan because it's clear, hearing some of the Dodgers talk after the series, like Kike Hernandez, and reading pieces like that and hearing what Dave Roberts had to say, the Dodgers' approach to this postseason, clearly as though the Padres were the team they needed to beat,
yep,
to win this World Series. And the Padres had them up 2-1. I mean, It's like, okay, I like the respect. I like having my team get that sort of respect, but it almost makes it hurt even more knowing Dodgers really felt, they actually did feel they were underdogs to the Padres. As much as we kind of poked fun at a super, you know, star roster with as much payroll as they've got, considering themselves underdogs when they were favorites all year long, they legitimately thought they were the underdogs to the Padres. And I don't know whether to like that or to hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think all, I'm not going to tell Padres fans how to feel. So I think it's I'm sure it's a hard thing to process with. It is also something, again, easier for me to say, kind of a funny reversal of roles, just from the standpoint of, like, for so long, the sole goal for the Padres has been to beat the Dodgers, you know, and they did do that. You know, they did do that in the postseason. But this year, obviously, it went in the other direction. And this year, obviously, the Dodgers were not finished. And part of that maybe is because they did see the Padres as their toughest opponent. And once they got past them, they were able to get past both New York teams while, you know, having some issues along the way and feeling comfortable, you know, throwing out bullpen games where you understand, okay, you know what, we probably aren't going to win this one. Now it's a little bit different in the World Series versus in the CS, because in the World Series, they were already up 3-0. But I think that it is, it got to, yeah. And by the way, you say, yes, the Dodgers view themselves as underdogs. We can laugh at them for that. But listen, look around the baseball internet. Most people were picking the Padres. Yeah. That was true, right? And so in that is a commentary on how strong we thought San Diego was. And you could say that that makes it hurt more. You could say that that makes you feel better about them going into next season. There's a lot of ways you can kind of interpret that. But no, I think that that proved to be very accurate. But you also got to give credit to the Dodgers because they didn't stop there. They weren't content with that. They just kept on trucking and ended up looking like the best team in baseball, which is kind of what we said on the pod last night. That's what we said when spring training started, and it was a weird way to get there, but they did end up winning.
Now, and I don't remember last year after the World Series, the hot stove heating up as quickly as it did. I can remember talking to you maybe winter meetings time, and winter meetings were dead, and GM meetings were dead, and we just were all sitting here waiting. I actually liked it yesterday when I was driving home and got a notification that there had already been a trade. Alex Anthopoulos, you know, taking on Griffin Canning and freeing $26 million up by sending Jorge Soler over to the Angels. And I thought to myself, well, I'm jealous because I want our team to be the one making moves. Do you expect this one to be a little bit different this offseason?
Yeah, so I can say I did actually spend a nice chunk of time thinking and talking about the Padres during the World Series as the great AJ Casavell was sitting a couple seats over from me in the press box. And so, you know, in between, you know, pregame, I was just like, man, like I'm, especially these last couple of days, especially over at Yahoo, we already put out our free agent rankings. Like we've been working on those for a couple of weeks. Like you got to kind of be ready to go as soon as the offseason gets started. So once you start kind of getting your brain into hot stove mood, like absolutely, I'm ready to get going here. And as for what San Diego is going to do, I mean, it is interesting because we know they're going to do something. Now, whether that means adding externally versus focusing on keeping a very, very, very strong team together, whether that's through extensions, whether that is through, you know, bring back, you know, somebody like Profar, or I guess Tanner Scott, which seems a little bit less likely. All those things are very much in play. But come on, guys. I mean, there are going to be a lot of other teams that a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, they're going to look back and be like saying, wow, we did nothing. And I don't think the Padres are going to be one of those teams.
Good. Yeah, that makes me feel better.
Talking to Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Rob Manfred during the World Series, we haven't even brought this up on our show, but he did say that they're planning to test the automatic ball strike system, a challenge system, during spring training next year. Now, he said, don't think that means it's going into the regular season yet. They've got some more, you know, kinks to make sure that they, you know, iron out before it comes to Major League Baseball. But doesn't it seem clear to you, Jordan, that it is coming in some form? And when it does, what kind of impact do you think, like, what hidden impacts do you think it's going to have on the game when they get rid of or kind of get rid of the umpires calling the balls and strikes?
Yeah, I'm super fascinated by it. I mean, I've been pretty consistent since this has been a talking point for the last couple of years and since I've seen it in person that the challenge system is absolutely the future. I don't think, and I also hope we never have a full automated zone. But, you know, it's not that I guess I shouldn't say I don't think it'll ever happen, but I do think we're a lot farther away from that. Whereas I think with the success that they've had with the challenge system, I think that they are going to get a
lot closer to trying to expedite that process. We saw that in AAA last year, right, where they decided midway through, all right, forget the full zone. Like, let's just focus on the challenge system and making sure that that is as good as it can be. And I mean, the point that I've made about that is not just about, okay, this is good. Now we're getting correct balls and correct strikes, which is, of course, the point. But the act of challenging in this specific context is genuinely entertaining. I mean, I think that that's something when you think about why did Manfred change anything about the sport is because he thinks, in some cases correctly, that fans want quicker games, faster games, shorter games, you know, more balls in play, no more shift. Like, all those things are because it is what they think that the fans want more of. And some of those is probably right. Some of those maybe not. But in this case, I think you just think about it as an entertainment product, watching players challenge these pitches and how quickly they, like, that could be a fun thing to actually watch
in a
way that is, I think, different from challenging, you know, safe out calls in the way, because that's, of course, about getting it correct. I think this is, of course, getting about correct to some degree, but there's also going to be a strategical element to this that I think is going to be really fun.
Is there going to be any better drama than the guy on your team, whoever it may be, that continues to try to challenge it, but he's always wrong? And then the fans are actually mad at him for challenging it.
Good talk fodder for us,
great
too.
Fodder for us.
Oh, he uses his challenges way too much. What is he doing?
Does he actually know? Could it work against these hitters? Like, buddy, you clearly don't know the strike zone. You have no idea because you're 0 for 14, you know, in the first 12 games of the season.
Totally.
It is, you're, as far as entertainment goes, I never really thought about that. That's actually pretty brilliant, and it makes the game better.
Two things on that, though. One is, I think that having talked to catchers about this that have used it, there is going to be still probably a level of exploitation once people learn the zone from a pitching standpoint, right?
Oh, big time.
Because the issue right now is, okay, if you do have full automatic zone, is you can just maybe clip the top with like a high breaking ball, and like it doesn't look like a strike to the eye, but maybe it's clipping it. Now, you could still have that dynamic in play because it's fooling the hitters into thinking there's no way that's a strike. That's just one broad thought. But to me, I think it's even more fun to have the opposite of what you guys are describing in terms of the player that's always wrong. Because now we maybe get to see, oh, you know, the Joey Vados of the world or the Juan Sotos of the world, do they actually know the zone better than everybody else?
Yeah,
you know, now, obviously, we already have ways to know that because we do have other ways to measure when they're swinging at balls in the zone or out of the zone. Like, we have all that, but the notion of a guy just like repeatedly telling the umpire just keep getting it right on that, like, that is, I love that too.
It's great. So, yeah, they're both both deadly.
All the parts about it could be really, really fun, and that's why I do think we'll see it probably sooner.
I'll also say it got a lot of good reviews, and I tended to agree. Fox's nearly invisible strike zone box during the World Series, it was there, but it was less obtrusive than the ones I think we were used to in the regular season. I thought it was a very good way to handle that. It would still light up either, you know, filled in
it
or
confused me,
ball
whole,
or strike.
But I didn't like it.
I was confused.
You didn't like
it.
I saw
confused.
A lot of people who liked it. Jordan, did you like it? Did you get to see a lot of it?
I mean, I saw they have it on in the press box.
Yeah.
But I can't give my full review because I obviously have not sat down like watched the whole game. Because part of that's the thing about the zone is now the TV zone is something that we are just so used to that any slight alterations either makes it you immediately notice and think it's way better, or you're like, oh no, I don't like that. And some people want it to be gone completely, and I hear that that argument as well. So I can't give my full review on it, but now I am going to go back and watch this game 5, and I will report back.
Jordan, I want to thank you and Jake for your contributions throughout the season. You added a lot, I think, for us
always,
and our Tier 1 audience, and we always appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do this next season and maybe catch up with you during the winter meetings or sometime during the off season as well.
Winter meeting travel is booked, so we would love to hop in there. But
nice.
Thank you guys. It's been fun all season. And for me and Jake, we really appreciate you guys having us on all season long.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Jordan Schusterman, number one Leo DeVries fan on Cespedes Family Barbecue. And brought to you each week, all season long, by Grand Hole Barbecue. Definitely one of the things Ben likes, especially their brisket. It is the best I've ever had.
And Dub J in the chat says, so much for speeding up the games, it's going to slow the games down. It doesn't, actually. It's a really, really quick process. That they've been able and they can fine tune it and make it even quicker and better. And I want it accurate, man. I want it as accurate. I'm thinking of 5 calls off the top of my head in the World Series. Someone against the Dodgers, someone against the Yankees, but game changing type calls. Aaron Judge probably struck out on that walk. Gleyber Torres definitely did. That was not a strike to him with Juan Soto on deck. You know, there's 2 off the top of my head, and you want to get those right in those big moments.
Can I follow up on this when we come back? Because it seems rare in my lifetime that baseball has actually done a lot of things right.
Correct.
lately.
Correct.
It's almost a surprise.
It almost is a surprise.
But, you know, other sports are starting to take notice, actually, of what baseball is doing. And I want to give baseball some praise here at the end of the season. That's coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Saw that the game time for the World Series was down a little bit from last year. Speeding up the games has undoubtedly, Woods, I think, been a good thing for Major League Baseball.
No question, man.
I mean, I get it that some people say, hey, let's not rush people out of there too fast, but I don't know that I have met anyone who has said, boy, I really wish they could go back to those 3.5 hour games with the pitchers taking forever to throw the pitches. I mean, the pitch clock has been one of the greatest developments in baseball in my lifetime, and I think I'm comfortable saying that at this point.
You know, in the old heads that got really mad that they were changing all the rules and leave baseball the same, I think even they've come around because they've said, oh, yeah, the elimination of the shifts and things, and this is actually more like the baseball we used to play. It feels more like that game. It feels less true, especially, I mean, if you're a Padres fan and you're an old head, San Diego Padres in 2024, bro, I mean, that's one of the best teams you ever saw. And that's not a three true outcome team, right? Hit, walk, or walk, strikeout, home run. Yeah, no, these guys were putting it in play all the time. They were moving runners. I mean, it was as old school baseball as I think we've seen in forever.
So, you know, and part of the reason that they implemented this was to counteract the very real effect of analytics and smart organizations trying to take advantage of the rules as they were written by using the shifts, by employing, you know, the strategies that they were allowed to do. You know, if a pitcher knows, hey, if I take 25, 30 seconds between pitches, I'm going to be able to throw harder and longer and get more guys out. Why wouldn't you do that if you were a pitcher? It was simply to their advantage to do so. So you've counteracted some of the things that analytically had been successful for teams. Now, that could be frustrating for a team that's been having success, but everyone's operating under the same playing field. I bring it up because they are now, all of a sudden, encountering the same challenges in basketball. Because it has become very apparent that teams have realized the advantage to shooting three-pointers.
Sure.
The fact that a three-pointer is worth 50% more than a two-point basket. Just because you're another, you know, you can shoot one from, you know, 18 feet for 2 points, or you can shoot one from 21 feet for 3 points. It's a no-brainer. I mean, they really should be shooting tons of three-pointers. The Boston Celtics won a championship. The Golden State Warriors won a bunch of championships by being great three-point shooters. It's not necessarily just the best way to play the game all the time is to just jack up three-pointers. And fans are starting to go like, what are we going to do about this? Because this is not the basketball I remember. This is not the basketball I love. And they're starting to try to think of ways in basketball that they can change the game to make it look more like it did back in the day. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Bad Boys Pistons and everything should be a foul. I think they've made good developments in basketball as well. But I think in particular, when you have a guy like Anthony Edwards, who has been compared, at least early in his career, to Michael Jordan in terms of the athleticism and the things that he can do. And then you just see him standing at the three-point line, jacking up threes. You're going, we're missing what could be the greatness of Anthony Edwards because of analytics. And he's just throwing up three-point shots when... What about driving to the basket and doing, you know, hang time, spin under the rim, spectacular
drawing
things?
Well,
that's only worth 2 points.
Right.
And he just stands at the three-point line and, you know, uses his height and just, all right, I'm going to shoot the ball. It's not the most entertaining form of the game necessarily.
Yeah, aesthetically, it's certainly a different look. And you know, they've made certain rule changes to a lot of sports to try to make them more palatable. But you do feel a tipping point with a couple of things in the NBA. That's obviously one of them. And then, of course, load management has been another one where they're...
Which is another analytics thing.
Yeah,
the regular 100%. Season is so long, they know. The more we rest our guys, the better they're going to be, especially in the playoffs. So, yeah, unless you're going to punish us... For resting our guys, we're going to do it as much as we can.
Which they are.
Which they're starting to do.
I think the Sixers just got fined $100,000 for Joel Embiid. And
they get fined every year.
Every year. For
or at least they get investigated every year.
It's crazy, man. And
there's like a policy in the league. Like if you miss back-to-back primetime games or any primetime, you know, TNT or ESPN game, you're going to get investigated.
But I mean, you know,
make sure that player's
there's always
hurt.
The excuse of, but I am legitimately hurt. And it's hard to completely prove a guy is not if that's what they're claiming.
How do you. Yeah, you and it's. Well, is there a limit? Like, okay, you need Embiid to start. Okay, he'll start. Plays 4 minutes. You take him off and rest him the rest of the game. Is that a workaround, or is there some sort of limit that a guy has to play a certain number of minutes? You know, I know you talked about moving the 3-point lines back, potentially making them worth, making the two actually a three
and a three worth a four. I don't think they'll ever do that. Maybe the 3-point line moving back is the next thing.
But then look, Steph could make it from anywhere.
He can.
You know, I mean.
But not everybody can.
Not everybody can.
And those long ones are really spectacular.
Then analytically,
so
it goes the other
then
way.
Then it'll start going the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way you combat it. The only way to sometimes save the game is to change the game.
Yeah.
Football has always known that.
Yeah.
Football changes 7 rules every single year. I mean, sometimes they're really noticeable, like the new kickoff thing that I know has had very mixed reviews. I haven't really cared all that much.
No, me neither. I'm not missing
it. I feel
that.
Like there's
I
been
think
some
I like it.
Yeah. I think there's been some kickoffs, which is cool. They definitely look like they're not running into each other at 100 miles an hour, which looks really dangerous. So, kind of taking that part out of the game. I mean, I think for the most part, I'm okay with it. I know some people are outrageously mad about it, but you always get those people. Anytime you change any rules, you're going to get those people. But football's never been afraid to change the rules. Two-point conversions, you know, changing the hash marks, everything, you know, changing the footballs for kickers. Kickers may be the next one that they have to look at. They've gotten so good at kicking, you know, 50, 55. I mean, remember in our lifetime, 63 was like the magic untouchable. Now there's like 60-yarders every week in football.
Yeah.
They don't even hesitate to kick them anymore because kickers have just gotten so good.
Yeah.
And they may have to change some rules, you know.
Narrow it or something. Yeah, that will be insane.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. What does Ben's greatest hits mean?
You'll see.
Okay. Guess I will see when we come back with Ben and Woods on a Friday on San Diego's number one.
Oh, and my wife pulled it off this morning.
Oh, that's a prank.
She got it.
Finally, it happened.
Yep.
So tell everybody before we go.
So yeah,
we play.
We teased it yesterday, the Kimmel prank with your Halloween candy. We've never done it. Our kids are at a perfect age to, you know, ruin their day.
Kimmel would have parents send in videos, and you would put them all together and do it every year around Halloween. Kids come down the morning after Halloween, and it's, hey, guys.
Hey.
Kids just want to let you know, Mommy and I got really hungry last night. We ate all of your candy.
We ate all your candy.
And the meltdowns that ensue.
Yeah, Hannah put a little twist on it. You guys will like.
Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just enjoying some more of things Ben likes during the break. Had a couple of Smarties candies. You guys have been drinking my squirt. That you got me. Hope you like the squirt. Happy to share. I'm happy to
loved
share.
Loved it. Loved it.
Good.
Big fan, actually. It's pretty elite soda.
So yeah. I am also a fan of... I'm a fan of you using your children for our content on the show.
Sure, yeah.
I worry about it sometimes, just, you know, about the future and their future.
They're very...
In the immediate moment, it's always very entertaining.
They are very... they're very loved. They're very safe. They're very appreciated and cared for in our home. They are a constant source of amusement and comedy. They're the two funniest children I've... And I know I'm partial, but... Bro, they lay me out.
I'm more impartial, and yeah. I tend to agree with you.
They lay me out. I mean, they're just they're clever, they're funny. It's art. We have our house is tough. You got to be on all the time. I mean, really. I mean, you got Hannah and I are. It's barb after barb after barb. So your kids get a little bit of that thick skin, and they start giving it back, and it's just a delight.
This one, I wasn't sure if we may be going too far.
I wasn't sure either on this one. Paulie convinced me to do it. I'm going to blame him for any problems later in their lives.
I'll wear that.
All right. When we come back after traffic, the audio of Hannah Nancaro Woods. Surprise. Is it just Taylor?
Just Taylor.
Just Taylor.
Bo's still asleep.
And making her believe, not that you guys ate all the candy, but that you gave it all to me
for
my birthday and brought it into work.
That's right.
You know we already have a bit of friction between
you and Taylor, yes.
Taylor and myself.
You are not the biggest fan of my youngest.
We'll get to that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, yeah, Taylor, you thought he'd get up like at 4:30 in the morning, but even by 6:30, he hadn't gone down and, like, discovered his missing candy yet.
No, so. He was, he got, you know, Halloween takes a lot out of him. There's a lot of steps. They're out a little bit later. They're out in the dark. It was cold a little bit last night, so they were kind of worn out when they got home. Taylor was upset Halloween was over. He wanted it to go on forever and to continue Halloween. He wants to go tonight, you know, so he came in this morning and, my beloved wife, Hannah and Carol Woods, well, she dropped the hammer on him.
What, baby?
Where's the things that you ate? Oh, your candy? Oh, you know how it's Ben's birthday? Ben and Woods' birthday?
Pause.
Dada brought it to give to him for his birthday.
She calls Ben. Or he calls Ben. Ben and Woods.
Right.
Even though his last name
your
is
daddy,
Woods.
Your daddy. I'm Ben and Woods.
Yeah, I'm dad.
Right.
Dada or daddy, you are Ben and Woods.
Right. Right.
I didn't know you still wanted anymore.
This little thing.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry. Dada took it to work for Ben and Woods. Oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry. There's no more left. Wasn't it yummy last night, though? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you still wanted it. You didn't tell me. And honestly, Dada ate all of those.
He doesn't care.
Nope.
Dada ate all of those, and then he brought yours to go for Ben and Woods for his birthday. I know, baby. But next year. Next year's good.
Crocodile tears. He gets up.
You okay?
Sucking his thumb.
Grabs his baby.
I know, bunny.
It's like a load in his diaper.
I'm so sorry.
That's it. He handled it pretty well.
Not bad. The faces were heartbreaking.
Ben took a little bit of delight watching that, I think.
Now, has there been a reveal? Has he?
Good. And Hannah said she told him, and she goes, he didn't really care. He's kind of out of it today. So I think he's on sugar crash from last night.
Downfall,
exhausted. So he'll
I want to hear Hannah use that voice with you.
Oh,
like when you
I
thought
know.
You were going to play baseball with Paul, and Hannah's going, oh, no, I'm sorry, Stephen. That's been canceled today. Yeah. We're actually going to be
staying
cleaning out the garage. Paul called and said your tier one game was canceled today. So, yeah, we're going to just stay here and get some housework.
But I want to play. I want to play. Hannah's never spoken to me in that loving or kind of a tone in a decade. So it would be jarring in and of itself. Somebody said that's going to be your new screensaver. Taylor with his lip quivering. I want it. Oh, he's such a good boy, dude. Such a good boy. So sweet. Had so much fun last night.
He can actually bring some of my favorite. If you want some of the things that Ben likes.
I'll bring him that bag of brown sugar.
I will donate some of that back to him.
The vanilla.
As a peace offering to Taylor.
Not the sake, though, because I do think he would drink it. So, yeah, we wanted to.
Sweet boy.
He's such a sweetheart. So I wanted, obviously today's Benny. Well, celebrating Ben's birthday today. We won't be celebrating with you over the weekend. You will be at work on your actual birthday, which is never a fun one. That's Sunday.
Happens to people.
It happens. Yeah. You have to do it. You're a grown man. You're not going to take your birthday off or anything like that. What are the plans this weekend?
So tonight, going out for sushi with the boys.
Ooh.
Tomorrow.
Oh, your boys. So they want to take you to sushi.
Sushi, yeah. We're
instead
going to sushi.
I figured it would be Texas Roadhouse.
No, we're going to go Encinitas Sushi Lounge.
Love Sushi
Which
Lounge.
Is one of our favorites
Ours
as well.
Too. Ours too.
Plus, they sent me a birthday coupon today. So
Who did?
Sushi Lounge.
Oh, Sushi Lounge.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant your boys.
So did I.
Dad, here's 10% off for tonight's meal that you're going to pay for. All right.
I always save all my birthday coupons.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rubio's. Get me a buy one, get one free birthday offer as well. Anyone else wants to send me a birthday coupon, I'm more than happy to accept.
I got a coupon for you for free foot rub from me.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, whenever you're ready. Just cash it in. Use that ticket.
Thinking about it.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Shelly and I are going out to a little a nicer dinner in La Jolla. Going to go to the Whaling Bar.
Ooh.
And then on Sunday.
What are you going to eat? Whale?
No, it's more of a nautical theme.
Can't
it's in the La Valencia Hotel. They closed for a while. They just reopened.
Whale, right?
I mean, if you're in like an Inuit, I think you can, yeah. But I don't think it's particularly appetizing.
I'll have the whale
for an American palate, perhaps, and I think somewhat endangered and non-PC to eat whale.
Why did there used to be whalers?
Well, they used blubber for a lot of tallows and stuff that you would make, I would assume.
Okay.
Whale products that they would use.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't have a lot of whaling still going on, but I'm sure in some parts of the world it still goes on.
They said, yeah.
And then Sunday, my mom called in earlier. She wanted to do lunch before I go to work. So that's kind of my plan.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Be honest. So you're looking down the barrel of three meals out, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Better to just consolidate, in your opinion, just one, maybe you do one big meal instead of three separate meals.
No, I like meals out. I'm not quite as much of a homebody as you are, so I'm happy to get three separate opportunities to have a little bit of a dine out celebration.
Because the thought of having to go to dinner, that's the way my mind works like this. If you go, hey, we got dinner Friday with this, and I go, I don't want to go to dinner or lunch 3 days in a row. I don't want to. Can we do a one? Maybe two. Three
right.
is...
I don't mind. No, I don't mind at all.
All right.
So
that's why we're wired different.
Yeah, not bad.
But we also wanted to celebrate you today, Benny, and with a couple of moments that really encapsulate, who you are, what you mean to us, what you mean to the show, our audience. You are a true legend and a gem. And we couldn't do what we do without you, your contributions, and Paulie and I picked a couple moments that have always made us laugh and smile.
Yeah, I was trying to walk the fine line. A lot of these clips you hear on Thursdays, Throwback Thursday, so I was trying to switch it up. I went in the way, way back machine.
Love
I was trying
the way to find back machine.
Some defining moments where, like when this show started, we probably were way too much on the traditional sports talk side of things. It wasn't comfortable. But there were some moments where
I was very comfortable. Now I'm not comfortable. I used to be comfortable.
Yeah. I thought the first time we learned that Ben spoke Spanish was pretty funny. And this was at the old station where the legal ID that you would hear at the top of every hour was in Spanish.
And if you're a longtime Mighty 1090 listener, you know we're XCPRS, where I've got an X transmitter in Mexico, which means the Mexican government owns an hour of our station each week.
Right.
And at 10 o'clock on Sundays, they take over, and it's like a Spanish language variety hour with some politics, with some recipes and features. I don't understand
all
it because it's in Spanish.
Yeah.
Just relax. We'll be back in an hour. Every week, they take over the airwaves for 1 hour. That's, yeah, I could do the call letters
Hang
in
on.
Spanish.
Can we compare them real quick?
No. Yeah, well, you want me to do it for real? I'll do it for real. Hang on.
Do the deep voice.
XCPRSAM, Baja California, Mexico.
Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Thank you so much for this moment.
Listen for
Paul.
A long time.
Listen to Paul.
AKA.
You like broke me.
Yeah.
Because it was
you got Paul.
It was Ben doing something other than, all right, let's break down Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
you're a very talented guy. And I spotted that in you.
I kind of cut my teeth in this business, though, in a very traditional setting, in that you don't really break character. You are the sports talk host. You don't really incorporate personal anecdotes or, you know, stories or anything that's not
sports
takes and analysis and taking phone calls and giving scores. That's just the way you did it. And you didn't, you know, if you made a mistake, as everybody does, you just plow right through it and you go like you ignore it like it didn't happen and you just keep going because you're a professional broadcaster, and that's how a professional broadcaster is supposed to be on the radio.
Well, the exact opposite of traditional sports talk radio would be, and people in the chat have already been clamoring for, Ben Reed's raps.
Yeah, 100%.
And look, I think we played this a couple of months ago. I'll play it every week if we had to. Ben rapping to Ice Cube, his own lyrics, back in 2019 when we first came over to 97.3 The Fan.
Before you play this, I will say, even back then, I mean, I knew Ice Cube was kind of a big deal. If I know then what I do now, I don't think I would have been able to do it.
Right.
I think there was a bit of a naivety to me.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to this, and in hindsight, and I go, I can't believe anyone on earth would do this with Ice Cube actually on the phone. So it almost scares me when we like.
And I thought it would be such an honor for all of us. If can he rap for you, and then you give us your honest feedback?
Yeah, I will.
All right, here we go. Let's get it going.
Break him. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked a breakfast with no hog. Damn. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I want to dig out. What's up? Hooked it up for later as I hit the
dough.
Thinking that I will live another 24 days.
Oh, my God.
Get me on the court, and I'm trouble. Last week, it's around and got a triple-double. Freaking ins every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
It's incredible. It's great rhyming structure. It really is good stuff.
But. Cube, all right, just, Ben, quiet for a second. I want to get the honest feedback from the author of that song, Ice Cube.
Lord have mercy. You know, I've never had my lyrics butchered. Method Man, now we got Mayonnaise Man.
And that day, a legend was born. 49 years ago, on Sunday, a legend was born. But on that day, a legend was cemented. Your legacy. Mayonnaise Man, from Ice Cube himself. What a moment that was.
I am kind of a white bread, mayonnaise-y kind of guy. I don't really like mayonnaise, but I certainly see the comparison.
Yeah, as do I.
Thank you, Cube.
That was so
good. Hope you're
good.
Doing well out there.
Yeah, me too. Hope he's enjoying that Dodgers World Championship. You know he is.
True, he is. Yeah. I can be happy for him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We'll come back. Final hour of the week, including a Rindle report. Bob Costas in the news yesterday. That ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.